Good morning, church family. I am not John Paul Suchecki. I am Peter Stevens of the Stevens Clan, and I have a little sermon. It's not as long as normal, but that's okay. So, I need a little audience participation. That means you all. You guys are the audience, and you'll be participating. And what I need you to do is, on the count of three, just say one thing that you love in your life. It can be a person, it can be an object, it can be an activity. Just say one thing that you love, and say it really enthusiastically, because when we love something, we love it. So one, two, three. Food. Thanks. So, I think I heard some of you say you love food, cars, TV shows, movies. There's friendly love, best friend love, oh my Lance, it's my BFF love, romantic love, love hate, sisterly love, brotherly love, parental love, and the love your parents tell you you will one day understand, but you're too young right now. And of course, the love of God. The last kind of love is the kind that, if you grow up in church, you hear about all the time. The love of God is something we are told about, and we are told we have. We're told to model it, show it, let it flow through us, and teach it to other people. God's love is the original love. So the questions I want to leave answered for you are, what is the importance of love in our lives, and how do we show love ourselves without saying, I love you? See, love is the most overused word in the English language, and it's lost some of our meaning. So through this lesson today, I'd like to return some of that meaning for us, for my Christian brothers and sisters, and revitalize what love truly is. And with that, I'm going to go to one of the most famous chapters in the Bible that talks about love, 1 Corinthians 13. So I'm going to read some verses and then I'll tell you whether it attaches to what the importance of love is or if it shows you how we can show love without saying I love you. Starting in 1 Corinthians 13 verse 1, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Paul writes, inspired by God, that no matter how amazing we are in human skills or in feats of genius, without love we are nothing. So when I think about this in the context of my life, no matter how good I am at singing a song or doing a job or playing an instrument or doing something, if I'm just doing it because I have to, or even out of spite of whoever is telling me to do it, then what is the point? Because there is no love. Continuing in verse 3. If I give all I possess to the poor, and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. See, this ties back to how we can show our love. This one verse addresses that question, how do we show love without saying I love you? Obviously, just buying people gifts and giving them extravagance aren't going to work. As the saying goes, you can't buy love. When you do something, whether that's something as simple as buying a happy hour drink from Sonic and bringing it to your friend, or paying for them to go do something with you, or even just praying for them, it's not what you do, it's as long as you do it out of love, and not expecting something back. Then, we are on our way to show godly love. Whenever we do these things, it's about taking our time, about doing something to go out of our way to show our appreciation for that person. Our society has taught us, at least my generation, that when something is done for you, or when you do something for someone else, you expect something back. Oh, I did something for you this time, so next time I need something done, you'll do it for me. It's not, I did this for you because I love you and I wanted to show you how much I cherish you. Continuing in verse 4, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. As someone with siblings, that is hard for me, because it is very difficult to have your sister or your brother continue to do something that annoys you, or that you have told them time and time again, don't touch my favorite action figure, and then you come home and you're like, that's my toy. It upsets you, and you try to let that go every time, but you keep that in the back of your mind, and it constantly builds up inside you. Continuing in verse 6, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. This goes back to the importance of love. Here we are told what love is, and if God is laying it out this clearly, then it is important. Because God does not waste a single breath in His living Word. And these guidelines are part of why love is so important. Because it gives us the way we should live, not just a word, but an action, a verb. How love is shown. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. At the beginning of this chapter, we are told that all these things don't matter without love. But now we are told that not only do they not matter, but that love makes them obsolete. And that love, God's love specifically, is perfect. And so these imperfections are unneeded and irrelevant. Our lives are completed through God's love. And all these things that we think fulfill us aren't truly what fill us up. As I was growing up in my younger years, I felt this hole inside of me around age 12, 13. And I went to my mother and I asked her what that hole inside of me was. I said, I've tried to fill it. I've tried to fill it with music. I've tried to fill it with food. I've tried to fill it with video games. I've tried to fill it with all these things. And she looks at me and she tells me, that's the hole where the Holy Spirit goes. That's where God is supposed to fulfill you. And that is where humans cannot prevail and where God steps in and fulfills who we are. Continuing in verse 11. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, and then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The Bible is very poetic, and the end of this chapter concludes that after everything else, after all that was mentioned, the greatest thing left is love. This entire chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, is about how love fulfills us, how love teaches us how we're supposed to live, how love truly is what is supposed to be inside of us and what God has shown us. The verse 11 hits me specifically very hard because very recently I turned 18. But I know for a fact a lot of the ways I think and act and do are still like a child. It is not a light switch. When I turned that legal age of society saying I am an adult, I did not automatically become responsible. I did not automatically get up at 6 a.m. every morning to go and walk the dogs and do my laundry every day I'm supposed to and shower twice a day and brush my teeth. I didn't just flip that switch. And I'm still not there. And it's been almost a month and a half now. So that verse hits me specifically very hard. So we've answered the first question, but the second remains. To answer this one is much simpler. How do we show our love? For this, we need to look to one of the most well-known Bible verses, not just in Christian communities, but throughout the world. It's on signs at Super Bowls. It's on the street corners. It's in government buildings. And that's John 3:16. And I'm going to read it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. The way we show our love is by putting others above ourselves, just as Christ did for us. Being willing to take our time and our personal gifts and use them to the glory of God. They will know we are Christians by our love. And that doesn't mean that we are to go around yelling, "I love you!" to every person we see. It means that we take action of love in our daily lives and wordlessly and humbly glorify the Lord, showing our love to others by serving them and in turn serving God. Love is connected to every aspect of our lives, whether it is our relationships with our family or our significant others, whether it's our relationships with our friends or even our enemies. We are told to love our enemies. We are given gifts by God that we are told in the Bible that we are to use, and if we do not use them, we will lose them. But those who use our gifts will flourish and glorify the Lord. Love is something that we use to express and something we enjoy. Love is used to express a feeling that we don't quite understand. Love is everywhere around us, but what does it mean? And if this lesson did not show you that, I encourage you to go and read 1 Corinthians 13 and study over it this week. This is the perfect example of love in John 3:16, by sending his Son down to die on the cross for our sins. And if you would like to accept the Holy Spirit into your life today and to feel that godly love and to join our loving family, please come forward today as we stand and as we sing.